Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this morning on this Christmas day from Luke 2. And I read the verses 13 through 15 as text verses for the sermon. Luke 2, verses 13 through 15. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." The theme for the sermon is glory to God in the highest. Three points of attention, three thoughts. The first, a multitude of the heavenly host. The second, the song of the praise of God. And the third, the fruit in the life of the audience. So the theme is glory to God in the highest. 3 points, a multitude of the heavenly host, the song of the praise of God, and the fruit in the life of the audience. Congregation, someone told about how he attended a conference, a Christian conference, somewhere outside. And there were so many people, there were like 10,000 people attending this conference. And they had several topics, and they were encouraged, instructed, and admonished. And so after the days of this conference, at the closure of the conference, the leader of the conference said, "Let's all rise now, let's all stand, and let's all sing Amazing Grace." So all the people were rising and they all were singing Amazing Grace. So this great song from so many mouths, to be there, to hear that, to experience that. I'm not the only one who is living by grace. I'm not the only one who has that new desire in the heart. There are so many, and of course we don't know all the hearts, but to hear it from so many mouths, it's such a great encouragement. It's so overwhelming how good is God that He's giving that we can gather as a church, that we can meet as Christians, that we can hear the word and sing together and pray while we sing all these words and experience the reality of the power of the gospel in this world, how it is spread and how it has taken many hearts to become servants of the Lord by grace, by the love of Christ. Yeah. How good is God that He is doing that. That He is bringing this encouragement. And we read about such a situation in this chapter, Luke 2. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest.'" Suddenly, there was with the angel. Which angel? Well, we have read that there came an angel, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The shepherds in the field, abiding there, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. That's wonderful. Usually when there's light shining, there is a place of shadow. Like I see the shadow here at the floor of my of myself. There's usually shadow, but here it says the light was shining round about him. It was all light. Nothing was in darkness anymore. That's something of heaven. Light shining round about in our lives, discovering everything. And then that great message of the salvation of God. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. That's the secret. God is doing that. The glory of the Lord shining in our lives. You could say that's Christmas. God is discovering everything in our light, but he does it with his glory. And so this is what the angels sing when they come. They sing glory to God in the highest. So this one angel brought this great message in a dark night in this world. All of a sudden he was there, the angel of the Lord, and revealed to the shepherds what happened, that Christ was born in Bethlehem. These words are so full and so rich, but that's not everything. Then it says in our text verse, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Suddenly, a multitude. There was no darkness anymore. A multitude of angels singing the glory of God. How many would it have been? What do you think, children? A multitude. Can you imagine that? To be in the dark field outside and then one angel, that's overwhelming, great. They feared. But the angel said, fear not. And then a multitude, the whole sky filled with angels, you could say. We read in Revelation 5, verse 11, about angels in heaven. 10,000 times 10,000. So that's 100 million angels, at least, in heaven. 100 million. That's something we cannot comprehend. So we don't know how many there were, but it was a multitude. There were many. And they all brought the light and the glory of heaven. That must have been a real experience of heaven on earth. Glory everywhere. And light, the glory of God. And then all those angels singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That was something that must have filled their hearts. It was so much that they couldn't take it. Salvation shown. So that one message of that one angel is supported by this great song of those many angels. And this song is about the glory to God in the highest. And that's the greatest thing. That's the most important thing, glory to God. That's the deepest, you could say, purpose of the heart of man, the glory of God. So here it was. This is the explanation of the void in our hearts, that we have lost this purpose in life of living for the glory of God. We turned away from that in paradise, and that made everything dark and empty in our hearts. And that lack of satisfaction, it has all to do that we lost this high purpose of life, glory to God. And God is bringing it back to earth. And the shepherds see it. They've heard the message and they see it in the song of those angels. Glory, light, It's all the whole night is full of the glory of God. There's no darkness anymore. What a wonderful support, you could say, of this message of the one angel. And if you think about it, it started with one angel, and then suddenly there's a multitude as a result, you could say, to prove the reality of his words. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what they sing. Yeah, the message was about just one child. One child born in Bethlehem. But the Son of God, Christ, and laying in a manger. But the result is kind of the same, isn't it? Like it started with one angel, and then there was a multitude, a host of angels. And if you think about it, one child, God became man. And what is the fruit? What is the result? And we can see the proof so clearly that it is real, that God brought salvation in Christ, because there is a multitude in this world of people that have received and experienced the reality of this message and of this song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And wherever you go in this world, yeah, there are some tribes that did not receive this light of the glory of God yet, of the message of the gospel. But in all directions in this world, you will find churches, you will find people, you will find Christians, people that are touched, that are discovered by this light and glory of God, and that have received it in their hearts, and have experienced peace, peace with God, and the goodwill of God toward man. Isn't that a powerful proof of the reality of the gospel, that Christ born in this world as a little babe is at the same time the Almighty God? He became man, vulnerable and weak, helpless, we would say. And at the same time, he is God and has all the power. And now he is. We cannot see that with our physical eyes, with the eyes of our body. We cannot see it, but it's real that he is now in heaven. And like he has spoken, has all the power in heaven and on earth. And like the Catechism says, he is gathering a church unto himself by his word and spirit. We can see that it is true. Like the shepherds received a powerful proof of the truth of the words of this one angel. In a multitude of angels singing about the glory of God. And we can see. We can see it in so many ways, and I hope you experience it in your own heart, that it is real, that God is bringing his glory in the hearts of man, that he is bringing light and peace in the hearts of man, and that his goodwill toward man is experienced. Peace with God. That's amazing. That this is the result of the birth of Christ, that everywhere in the world, heathen, Gentiles, people living in darkness of paganism, are touched and have received this power of Christ in their lives and are changed. There is a multitude which not can be counted, No man can number the multitude that will be there in eternity. Like there was a multitude of angels singing, there will be in eternity a multitude of saved people be singing to the glory of God. We read in Revelation 7 about that. That they cry before the throne, a great multitude. No man could number this multitude. And they cry, salvation to our God and to the Lamb. They bring their glory to God in the highest. That's what the angels sing here in the night when Christ is born in Bethlehem. Glory to God in the highest. So what does it mean? God is in the highest, in heaven. There he is revealing his glory. But you could also say God is the highest one. And he's worthy to receive glory in the highest way. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying glory to God. Suddenly. Isn't that how God is working many times? That he is working in a way surprising to us. In a way that we did not expect it. That's how Christ will return. That's what happened here in this dark night. There was all at a sudden an angel. And suddenly the whole sky was full of angels. And so God is so able and so mighty to change your darkness suddenly in a way you didn't expect. That he is opening your eyes and that he's breaking through all your impossibility. And that you're gonna see that your blindness is taken away, that you're gonna see the glory of God. And that he brings peace in your heart. Why does God do it many times in a way that we did not expect it? That it surprised us. So that we will give him the glory. That we wouldn't say, well, this is what I could see that would happen. No, God is working salvation in the way of a miracle. I'm not saying that it is in all situations going like it happened to Saul, where he fell on the ground and the light was shining from heaven and Christ was speaking in an audible way to him. No, but I do say that there is something of that experience of the miracle, that I heard the gospel so many times and then God made it powerful in my heart. And I got to see it, and I embraced it, and I could clearly tell this is not something from man. This is the work of God. This is not something I could do myself. And that's another thing we can see in this history. Salvation comes from God. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying glory to God. So salvation comes from above. It comes from God. It doesn't come from beneath. It doesn't come from the earth. It doesn't come from man. And that's why we have hope in our heart in preaching the gospel. It comes from above. It's the work of God. If you take the word regeneration, you could also translate it like being born from above. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the eternal God. That's why we can find it everywhere in this world. There are Christians in the most unbelievable situations of darkness and wickedness and evil and sin. There came the gospel and it worked as a power of God. It brought light in the lives and hearts of people and it brought them to repentance. and to faith in Christ, and so to salvation. A multitude of the heavenly host. There will be a multitude in heaven. Will you be one of them? What do those angels sing? Let's think about it. Let's think about this song of the praise of God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. What a beautiful song. They sing the glory to God. And you can see the joy, isn't it? You can hear the joy in this song. So the angels are most joyful. Where do we read that in Scripture? Where do we read about this joy in other places? In Luke 15 we read, there is joy in heaven over one repenting sinner. So we can understand this joy here in this song, this great song about the glory to God. We read in 1 Peter 1 verse 12 that the angels desire to look into that great secret of the plan, the counsel of salvation of God. And here they see the revelation of it in the birth of Christ in this dark night, and they sing full of joy. So they sing about God's glory, and there's every reason to sing that way this night, because salvation by Christ is the greatest revelation of God's glory. Salvation is revealing God's glory. Think about it. God is revealing that great wisdom that He has designed, developed a way of salvation for man fallen in sin, in corruption, fallen away from the communion with God. How could it ever be restored? No man could think out a way to do that. God did it. And here is the revelation, the Son of God, born in this world. So there's every reason to sing God's glory. We see His wisdom, the glory of His wisdom. And the glory of His mercy. That He didn't turn away like we turned away from God, and that He did not let us go. Because then we would get what we deserve. Eternal perishing without a way to escape from this judgment. God didn't do that. So we see the glory of His wisdom in developing this way of salvation and giving this way. But also the glory of His mercy. That He gave His only begotten Son to be born in this dark world. To be man, to suffer and to die. Oh, that's the glory of the mercy of God. And that's what the angels sing about. This is the only way to reconcile man. It is the way to do two things. To satisfy the justice of God in punishing sin, and at the same time to gratify mercy in their pardon of sin. So to punish sin, here we see His justice satisfied, and at the same time to bring mercy to sinners. Forgiveness of their sins. There we see His mercy. And that came together in Christ. Who was laid in a manger and would go to the cross. Justice and mercy meet each other in this babe, this Son of God. Oh, can you see that the angels sing the glory of God? God's glory revealed in this birth of his Son. So we do see the glory of God in his perfect justice. God is perfectly just, righteous. There's nothing wrong, no fault in God, no sin. He has perfect justice. That's such a great and deep thing. God is just. He makes no mistakes. Nobody will have any reason at any time to say that God is not just. We might think that in this world, and we do many times, and we are to be blamed for that, but we cannot blame God. And in the day of judgment, when everything will be revealed, everybody will have to agree about it. So, here in the birth of Christ, we see that God has perfect justice. So, instead of taking away from this justice of God, the Son of God came to be born in the flesh, so that this attribute of the justice of God would be satisfied. The glory of the justice of God. But we also hear and see in this song of the angels the glory of the might of God, of his power, that he is the Almighty God. There's nothing lacking in the might and the power of God. There's nothing impossible. And God is revealing the glory of his might in this way of salvation, in the birth of Christ. Isn't that true? Can you not see that? That we see clearly the might of God, that the infinite God is united to human nature. That's amazing. We can really not understand that totally. We cannot comprehend it. This is a miracle. This is deep. This is too large, too big for the human mind. I always think there are two things that are really too big, at least. The one is the Trinity. Three persons of God united to be one God. But the other one is that God, the eternal and almighty God, the creator of all things, united to flesh, to the human nature, to be one person, Christ. That's something only the Almighty God could work. So here we see the glory of God's might in this child born and laid in a manger. Dust, the dust of flesh, united to the essence of the eternal being of God, who is a spirit, the omnipresent, the all-knowing, the everlasting God, united to the dust of flesh. The glory, the angels sing about the glory of the might of God, of this great thing, that Christ is born in this world. The angels sing about the glory of God, like it is revealed here, also in his truth. God is true. There will not be one word of God that will fall on the earth being unfulfilled. All his words are certainly true. And it will become clear that they are true. And here at this moment, in this dark night, in Bethlehem, there's so much revealed about the truth of the word of God. And the angels sing the glory of God's truth. Glory to God in the highest. The truth of all his promises throughout the whole world history, from paradise, that the seed of the woman would bruise, destroy the seed of the serpent. And all the promises afterwards, this was the mother of the promises, you could say, in paradise. And then all the other promises were born from this one promise to Abram. In your seed will all the nations of the world be blessed. And all the promises to David and by the prophets about Christ, about the Son who would be born. All those predictions and promises, they are fulfilled here in this night, in the birth of Christ. And the angels sing about the truth of God. And here we have the truth of God. It's so precious. And there's such a firm proof in many ways that the word is true. God is revealing his glory in keeping his word, in fulfilling his promises. And the angels sing about it. And I hope that your heart is singing as well this day of Christmas about what God has done. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. On earth peace. A world full of fighting. The Roman Empire ruling over Israel, and the Jew bending his neck under the foot of the Roman soldier. It was so hard. And here are the angels singing of peace. Peace on earth. And still it's true. Maybe you say, I have a question. Because we read in Matthew 10 that the Lord Jesus says, I came not to send peace, but a sword. And that's also true. Because where the gospel comes of free grace by the work of Christ, and in that way disapproving about all the righteousness of man as being insufficient for salvation, there will be a conflict. Where the gospel comes, there's a conflict. There's a conflict in my life. Like Paul says in Galatians, a conflict between the old nature, the flesh, and the new life in man, in the work of the Spirit. Those two are so opposite, like light and darkness. They are so contradicting each other. They are in conflict. You have that too, isn't it? If you know the Lord, you have it. You know that there cannot be in this life a situation that there will not be the conflict between darkness and light. And that's so deep. That's so hard. That's a lifelong fight. Yeah, and you have it also in this world. Christians are persecuted and are hated. And the Lord Jesus says it's even in families that there can be a conflict because of the name of Christ. And of course, if someone is converted to Christ and someone else is not, well, the flesh and the spirit, they're always against each other, like it was with Isaac and Ishmael, like it was with Cain and Abel. There's always that conflict in this world. That's what the Lord Jesus means when he says, I came not to send peace, but a sword. If there's a choice in the heart to be saved by his grace and to serve him, to follow him, well, that means that you turn away from the world and from the ways of sin. That's your deep intention. I'm not denying that you stumble many times, but that's not acceptable for the world. You condemn the world by that behavior. And so there is that fight, that's right. And at the same time there's peace, peace on earth. And this peace makes it worth to experience that conflict, isn't it? That peace with God in Christ, in your heart, that is so sweet, that is so rich, that is so full, and that makes it worth to fight the fight of faith and to be rejected by those that continue to walk in the ways of the world, because peace with God, that's something of that high purpose of your life, to live for His glory, and that's so fulfilling in your heart, that brings such a satisfaction for your soul, you don't want to lose it. And when you turn again to sin in your foolishness, you feel it's darkening, and you feel so sad about it. You start to hate sin. You start to hate and abhor it more because of that peace with God. You become a peacemaker, you know. You will be a peacemaker. And you will be called children of God. That belongs together. Peacemakers will be called children of God. All animosity is going to cease. It's going to leave your heart. You will be attacked, but you don't want to attack others. You pray for them. Goodwill. Goodwill toward man. What is goodwill? You all know the name goodwill, isn't it? What does it really mean, goodwill? Well, you could say kindness, benevolence. Goodwill is that free and sovereign kindness of God, undeserved benevolence of God toward me, which He has decided from eternity in His eternal counsel to bring in this world and to the hearts of all that He has elected and predestined for salvation, which He will call in this world, in this life, to come to Christ in the preaching of the gospel, and will bring to faith in repentance. That benevolence is so overwhelming, that goodwill, because it's free, it's sovereign, it has no foundation in me. I cannot understand it by reasoning. God has shown me this kindness because I'm such and so. No, that doesn't work in this situation. That doesn't explain it. It has another foundation in the free grace, in the merits of Christ. And you know, that's so great. That's so full of glory that you will show that to other people as well. It will change your heart. You will show goodwill to your neighbor because God has filled your heart with it. Isn't that true? Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 298, stanza 1 through 3. 298, stanza 1. My steadfast heart, O God, will sound thy praise abroad. 298, stanza 1 through 3.
Thank you.
Congregation, what is the fruit in the life of the audience? What is the result in the lives of the shepherds? It's not that they, after the angels left, that they would say to each other, well, that's great, and continue with their daily things. That was impossible. This was so powerful in their lives, this message that they had received, and the revelation of the glory of God. It was impossible for them to just stay where they were or to continue the way they were before these words were spoken. This is going to change everything. And that's what happens in the lives of people that receive the gospel, not only in their ears, but also in their hearts. It's life-changing. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. So they go. They decide to go immediately. Why do they do that? Well, the simple answer is, they believe the words which are spoken. If they wouldn't believe them, they would just stay where they were. They would say, well, we had a great experience. But then they would stay and not change and not go to see. But they go. They immediately go unto Bethlehem. Go to see Christ. To see the Son of God born in this world. The shepherds, we can assume they were not educated. And we do know that they were not respected in those days. Despised, the lower class of society. Those things are not a hindrance. In a certain way, they might be a help. There was no hindrance in being not educated or not respected. They just go. They receive it. They're not reasoning, would it be true or not? They just go. They have to see it. And this is so great. They, although they were so despised, they receive this message. Can you see that it can be a help? That we all need to be humbled. That we all need to be delivered from self-righteousness and from natural human pride, which are such hindrances and stumbling blocks in coming to Christ. So there they go. You see them. You see them? Do you see those shepherds? They are in a hurry. They have to see. They start this pilgrimage to Bethlehem, to the city of David, to the house of bread, to Christ. To find in Him what they need for their soul. And we all have to make this pilgrimage. No, I do not mean that He's far away. The Word is near. Does God not say that clearly in His Word? Did you find Christ? That's the question this morning when we hear the angels sing about His glory. We did hear the Word. Did God not reveal His glory in His Word? And did you stay the same? That's impossible. It sounds impossible to me, but it happens that people hear the gospel about a Savior born in this world and they just say, oh great, and continue with their lives. It didn't break their hearts. It didn't change their heart to a desire to find Him. They just say, I'm seeking the Lord, but I cannot find Him. Is that what you say? Are you seeking the Lord? Do you say it's in vain? Is that true? It's not true. It cannot be that you seek the Lord and you will not find Him. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because the Word is saying that. The Word says that when we seek Him, we will find Him. You might do certain things that give the impression that you seek, but you don't have that decision in your heart. I have to find Him. Like the shepherds have their decision in heart. Let us go now. We got to see this. Do you have that? Are you really convinced that this is a thing you need? Yes, but you know, there are other things in my life. Yeah, what about the sheep? We should ask the shepherds, did they forget about the sheep? What about if there would be a wolf coming or a lion? Yeah, we don't read about that. We don't even read one word about it. It seems to be totally unimportant at this moment. And we can imagine it was. We can understand it was unimportant. If God from heaven, like he did, brought this message and showed his glory, would they have to bother about a sheep? Would this almighty God who has shown his glory, the glory of his power, the glory of his might, and they heard the angels sing about it, would they bother about their sheep? If God brought this message, there is a purpose in it. They have to see it. Would God not be able to take care of the sheep? We don't read one word about it. And they just left. They just went to Bethlehem. So what about you? It should be the same in your life. If God is bringing this great message, and he does. If God is revealing his glory in his word, and he does. The glory of his justice, the glory of his mercy, the glory of his might. Would you bother about the things that are just for a while in this life, more than about these eternal things of God? You make such a horrible mistake if you do that. That's something you would regret for all eternity. God brought in the darkness of this world the gospel of free grace in his Son. And you would say great and just continue in darkness. That will end up in eternal darkness and utter darkness. And you will have to regret it for all eternity. If this is not number one in your heart. So let's say it in other words. It's a matter of priority. And God in sending his angel to them and opening heaven and showing his glory in the singing of the angels made it priority in the heart. It's not difficult for them anymore. They said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. They don't say which might have come to pass. No, they were sure, they believed it, and that's why they go, which the Lord had made known unto us. It did not only happen, but God has made it known. So there they go. And there you should go to see Christ and to fall on your knees to worship him, to embrace him with arms of faith, to repent about all your sins. So they heard the word. They've seen the glory. Their hearts were touched. Their lives were changed. And they, when we would continue to read from our text for they spread the gospel. They praise God. And that's all what God is doing in this world, in the hearts and lives of people, to bring his word, to show his glory, to touch hearts, to change lives, to open mouths, to spread the gospel, to praise God in words and behavior. That's what we see in the shepherds. Can we see that in your life? What else should God do? He has given this word. He has shown his glory. He has given his Son. The Spirit is poured out. You may say, it's so dark in my life. Yes, it was a dark night for the shepherds. You may be in a dark night, but it could not stop the shepherds. No, when they heard the word, they went. Yeah, it was dark again after the angels left, but they went to go to Bethlehem. You may say, oh, I'm such a miserable sinner, such a poor wretch. Okay, yeah, I see. You mean something like the shepherds? They were poor, despised, miserable in the eyes of the people, but they came to Christ and they found Him to be rich in Him. You may be, those shepherds might be dirty, working with the animals and smell. You may be dirty in all your sins. You may feel dirty because of your sins. It could not stop them. They had to go to and you're right. But Christ is calling you to come to Him because He's washing and cleansing by His blood. Only this child in the manger can satisfy your heart, open your mouth, and will be your Savior to change your life forever. Why would you not come? Why would you not obey this word of the Lord by faith? You say, if I could believe. Well, faith is a gift of God. So pray, cry out, like the father of the son with the dumb spirit. Help my unbelief. But come, don't stay where you are. Let it be priority in your life. You will find Him. I promise you, you will find Him. Did you not see this morning the glory of His truth? It is true what God has spoken in His word. You will find Him and you seek Him. And peace in your heart. I have a hard time to describe it. If I could only find words to describe what it means to have grace, the joy, the fulfillment, you would come. But God is describing it in His word, so come. Come to this child born in this world to Christ and worship. Bring glory to God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that Thou would apply the words to our hearts on this Christmas day, that Christ will be born in our hearts and will be King in our hearts, that we will lose this fight that we fight by nature against Thee, and that we by grace will fight the good fight of faith, Lord, to surrender, to give up, to lose it, so that we will find it in the victory of Christ. He who was so helpless as a babe in the manger, but He who has all the power, and He who is showing the glory of His power in saving sinners, and He is still doing that. It's still the time of grace. Lord, bless Thy word. Take away, forgive everything that was not according to Thy will, Lord, and that we may have these words in our hearts to meditate on these words, so that they will be a divine power to salvation in our hearts. Oh Lord, it's such a miracle that Thou art saving dirty sinners, poor, wretched sinners, by grace. We want to give Thee the glory, that we may do it, that we may have the desire, and that we may do it. It will not be as perfect as the angels did. It will be in eternity, Lord. That we all will be there in that great multitude to sing Thy praise. Save our souls. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.